Once again, I want to welcome everyone to B'nai Shurim this morning. Our second speaker in Mizrahi's Israel 70 for 70, celebration of Yom HaAtzmaut HaShivim, is Rav Doron Perez. Rav Perez is the CEO, the Chief Executive Officer of World Mizrahi, childhood friend of Clive Lifschitz in South Africa. The topic this morning is a very fascinating one, is the establishment of Medinat Yisrael a greater miracle than Yitziat Mitzrayim. It's a great pleasure for me to welcome Rav Doron Perez. Chavav.
Yes. Thank you very much, Rav Przanski. What an honor it is to be in this famous and wonderful community of B'nai Yeshurim, a real beacon of Torah to Eretz Yisrael, a deep commitment to Torah, a deep commitment to community and Jewish people, a deep commitment to Eretz Yisrael. And B'nai Yeshurim, the children of Yeshurun, beautiful name for a community. And of course, Rav Przanski is a worldwide leader of the Jewish people, and somebody who I've learned a lot from, and never having met you, represents you. So it's an honor and privilege. We've met via the internet, and we've been in contact, but it's an honor and privilege to finally meet you. And really, relish the opportunity to share some Divrei Torah. Clive, nice to see you. And some Divrei Torah on this occasion as we prepare on Rosh Chodesh Iyar for the 70th year since the establishment of the State of Israel. Of course, as Torah Jews, everything we look at, every historic event and every event in our lives, we look at through the prism of Torah to try and contextualize and give a framework within which to understand often very confusing events. And certainly, the establishment of the State of Israel, the return of the Jewish people in the modern era, has been one of those confusing events. So much incredible good, so much confusion. Dvarim lifamim mishamshim bi'irbuvia, and sometimes where the way Hashem runs the world is so often confusing, and it's our responsibility to try and make sense out of this and try and develop a Torah perspective of the events that are transpiring before our eyes. So I want to speak today about what I believe of the many incredible achievements there are of Zionism in the State of Israel. I want to speak about the one thing that I believe above all is what our prophets, our Nevi'im and Chazal saw as the single clearest sign of Geula. And that is Kibbutz Galuyot. And I want to compare the miracle of Kibbutz Galuyot to the miracle of Yitziat Mitzrayim. And I want to show that I believe in some ways the miracle of Yitziat Mitzrayim, of course, is greater than all miracles. Nothing compares. But I want to show that the miracle of Kibbutz Galuyot, as we have experienced it, in some ways, even outshines Yitziat Mitzrayim. And I've got a Maratz Chayot, which says a similar thing, and some other Makorot that I want to show that we'll do together. And the first place that I want to start with is the beautiful tefillah that we said yesterday in Shul Birkat HaChodesh, where we hold the Sefer Torah, and we say the following thing. I have to be honest, a number of years ago, I was thinking about what I was saying, and I never realized that this is what Birkat HaChodesh is about. You know, you can say the same tefillot so many times and simply miss something that you say all of the time. Maybe it's an experience in your life or something you've been exposed to somehow with a certain veracity exposes you on a deep level to something you didn't see before. And I want to share with you that this is the pshat of the tefillah of Birkat HaChodesh when the Chazan holds the Sefer Torah and says as follows. Please look at source number one. He says, "Mi she'asah nisim la'avoteinu v'ga'al otam me'avdut l'cherut." The one, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who did nisim, miracles for our forefathers, "v'ga'al otam me'avdut l'cherut," and redeemed them then from servitude to freedom. "Hu yigal otanu b'karov," and he will redeem us once again. Stop. So, if this was a drama, I would say, okay, what are we going to read now? We've just read that Hashem once redeemed us, me'avdut l'cherut yitziat Mitzrayim. And he has promised he's going to do it again. Now, what is he going to do? V'kabeitz nidachenu ma'arba kanfota aretz. Just like he redeemed us then, in the future he's going to do it again. And he's going to do what? Kibbutz Galuyot. So we see the hakbalah, this equation. Then he brought us out of Mitzrayim and he's going to do it again. Of course, there's one addition, which is the second part of this, which is perhaps for the next 70 years. Chaverim kol Yisrael v'nomar amen. We have to bring all the Jews together. But then you've got to create genuine chaverut. That's also a big challenge, and I'm going to touch on that in a while as well. So what do we see? We see in the Birkat HaChodesh, just as Hashem brought us out of Mitzrayim, in the future He will do an equivalent thing called Kibbutz Galiot. And all of us here know that more than anything, in hundreds of Divrei Nevuah, scores of Tfilot, we always daven for Kibbutz Galiot. We say it, of course, in source number 2, Tekah B'Shofar Gadol L'Cheirotenu, 3 times a day, every day. We say that Hashem should blow the shofar, so to speak. It's based on a nevuah in Yeshayahu, in Kaf Zayin, in 27. Not only should Hashem blow the shofar, He should say V'san Nesla Kabetz Galiotenu. He should raise a banner of Kibbutz Galiot. Meaning Hashem should blow the shofar, raise a banner, V'kabtzeinu Yachad Meheira Me'arba Kanfot Haaretz L'Artzeinu. That's Nusach Sfarad. Baruch Atah Hashem, Mekabetz Nidchei Amo Yisrael. So what do we say? 3 times a day, every day of Vochadika davening, we say, Hashem, you should blow the shofar and bring the Jewish people back. Me'arba Kanfot Haaretz. Interesting, when one looks at the structure of the Amidah, as you know, the first 3, as we know, are Birkot HaShevach, praise, the last 3, Hodayah, thanksgiving, the middle 12 or 13, as we know, are requests. And you can divide the middle 12 or 13 into 6 and 6, and then Shema Koleinu. The first 6 are personal requests, which of course we express in a communal way. Even personal requests for health and for wealth and for closeness to Hashem that every Jew and Jewess wants for themselves on an individual level is expressed in the plural. But at the core, they are not communal requests. They are individual personal requests that we express communally. But the next 6, from Tekah B'Shofar until Etzemach, are not personal requests at all. They are inherently communal requests. Davening for the Beit HaMikdash, for the return of the David HaMelech, for the Tzadikim at the Yesod of our society, are communal requests in essence. And what is the first of all the communal requests that we ask for? Tekah B'Shofar Gadol L'Cheirotenu, V'san Nes Tekabetz Galiotenu. The beginning of the process is Kibbutz Galiot. And more than anything, that's what we say. If you look at source number 3, of course, Yeshayahu, in the famous Perek Yud Aleph, which speaks about the Mashiach, V'haya b'yom ahu, Shoresh Yishai, the son of Yishai, Asher Omeid L'nei Samim, will be as a nes, as a banner, meaning what will the Mashiach be? Some type of banner, a trailblazer for the people. V'haya b'yom ahu, Yosif Hashem, Sheinit Yado, Liknot Yisharam, and on that day, Hashem will do again acquire His people. And where will He bring them back from? Asher Yishair Me Ashur, from Assyria, umi Mitzrayim, umi Patros, umi Kush, umi Eilam, umi Shinar, umi Echala, umi Iyehayam, even from the most far-flung islands. From there, v'nasa nes laguyim, He will lift a banner, v'asaf nitche Israel, and He will bring the Jewish people back. So in essence, what is Kibbutz Galiot? It is bringing the Jewish people back from every corner of the globe. Now, I want to share with you, I'm busy reading Golda Meir's autobiography, My Life. And she says in this autobiography as follows. She says a number of amazing things, but she speaks about the day of the Declaration of Independence on Hei Iyar, Friday, 1948. And she says a number of things. Did the shul receive the publication at HaMizrahi? Okay. So there I mentioned one of her reflections, but there's another reflection of hers. She says of the 9, this is how she writes it, of the 979 words of the Declaration of Independence, she said there was one line that struck her to the core of her being more than any, that really brought her to tears. One was the Shehiyanu I spoke about in my article, but the other that really brought her to tears, she said, was when Ben Gurion said that the gates of the land of Israel will be open to Aliyah without restriction, she began to cry. She says because, and Ben Gurion writes this in his memoirs, he says, that what changed on Hei Iyar? Many things changed. But one of the things which changed, that this was the first time in 1813 years, says Ben-Gurion, since the fall of Beitar, the Bar Kokhba rebellion, since 135 CE till 1948, the first time in 1813 years that the gates of Aliyah were open to Jews without restriction. Meaning, since the Roman Empire and every regime in between until the British Mandate and incredibly until the very last day of the British Mandate, Jews were restricted from coming to the land. It's unbelievable. One of the really controversial and so difficult decisions of the British Parliament at the time was what's become famously known as the White Paper. passed in February of 1939, enacted into British law in May 1939. And I would even say, understandably, they limited Aliyah to Israel, to Eretz Yisrael, to Palestine. Why? Because there was the Arab revolt of 1936 to 1939. And doing things in British self-interest, as all governments do, one can understand not wanting to rock the boat. If I look at it objectively, one can understand it. But how do we understand leaving the white paper in place while 6 million Jews are being killed in 1939, in 1940, 1941, 42, 43, 40, 6 million Jews? And when the Allies and the British know in 43 and 44 exactly what is happening, you can't, you're still going to send ships, back people back to their death? You can't, for humanitarian reasons, relieve those people of coming. And when eventually 1945, they eventually rescinded the white paper, Foreign Minister Anthony Bevan made sure that de facto had stayed in place until the 14th of May, 12 o'clock, 1948. Meaning, even with 250,000 Jews in deportation camps, in DP camps, all over Europe, with nowhere to go, still the white paper remained in place. So from the Roman regime until the last day of the mandate, 1948, Jews were restricted in coming. The moment there was a Jewish state, with all of its challenges, one simple fact, there's Jewish sovereignty, keep the gates of Aliyah open. And boy oh boy, have they come back. Not in their tens of thousands, as we know, not in their revavot, not in their me'ot alafim, but in their millions. Well over 3 million Jews have returned since to Israel since 1948 and continue to return every day as we speak. One of the incredible statistics, and I've been doing a bit of research about this, trying to understand Kibbutz Galiot, firstly factually, before we reflect on it spiritually, because I'm going to reflect spiritually with some Makorot in a moment. But firstly factually, I read Professor Anita Shapiro, one of Israel's leading historians, writes that in May 1948, as we know, there were about 600,000 Jews living in Eretz Yisrael. Some say up to 650,000. How many Jews were living in Israel in December 1951? 3.5 years later, 1.3 million. The population more than doubled in size in 3 years, coming from 70 different countries, went from 650,000 to over 1.3 million. 690,000 people came. The population with no money was able to double in size within 3.5 years. Writes Anita Shapiro, there is no other example in history, certainly not in recorded history, of such a migration per capita of a society absorbing double the amount of people in such a short period of time. And it continued. It continued with operation after operation. I have to share with you, Golda Meir writes in her book, My Life, she says one of the things she loved to do in 1949, 1950 was to go to Lod Airport and just watch the Olim coming. She has a famous story there where she speaks to a Yemenite man in Operation Magic Carpet of the Yemenites, brought 50,000 Jews to Israel at the time. And again, it also had its complexities. There's still, you know, the lost Yemenite children. Often great epochs and events are fraught with challenge. And certainly Israel is no exception. And she would come every so often, periodically, to welcome the Olim. And she speaks about in her book, she says she meets an elderly Yemenite man. And she says to him in Hebrew, she says, Ha'im hayita ba'aviron lifnechen, ha'im ze pa'am rishona. It's the first time you've been in a plane, pa'am rishona. Lo pachadita, you're not scared. You're a person, ha'im ra'ita aviron lifnechen, had you seen a plane before? You'd never seen a plane, and yet you come into this tin can, right, flying in the sky, as the Rambam has this thing of Aviron, Afbavir, something that you can't even imagine. He speaks about a, you know, tin can in the sky, which is unimaginable in the time of the Rishonim. You weren't scared to get in a tin can with these funny wings. You'd never seen such a thing. By the way, Israel, as we know, did not have any commercial plane. They barely had military planes in the beginning of the war. They got a few with actually many American and South African pilots coming across the skies with the first planes for Israel. But they certainly had no commercial planes. So they had to rent 4 Air Alaska planes and reconfigure them to bring the 50,000 Olim. So, lo pacharita, you're coming over here for the first time in a plane. You weren't scared. And he says, Lo pachadati. Yadati sheze yikre. Hare yesh pasuk. Hare katuv bepashat Yitro. She actually erroneously quotes it from, the man quotes it from Yeshayahu. I don't know if it's his mistake or her mistake. It says, but Golda writes katuv Yeshayahu. I don't know whose mistake it is. She says, Hare katuv va'esa etchem al kanfei nesharim. I will bring you back on the wings of eagles. He says, I didn't think for a minute it would be an actual eagle. Which eagle can hold human beings? I knew it would be something like that. And when these planes arrived, I knew that this was the fulfillment of the pasuk of Esaychem al kanfei nesharim. Nice to see you, Rav Aaron Adler, Shlita. Wonderful to see you. As I'm sure you know, there are 70 speakers which have been speaking around communities all across the United States. I had the privilege of being in Young Israel, Lauren Cedarhurst. Rav Adler, I think, was up the road or down the road on wherever. And you appear first in the poster. First is Rav Aaron Adler, AA. You don't get better than that. And also very ra'oi to be amongst the leaders of this program. And lovely to see you, Rav Aaron, and to have the privilege of speaking before you. So, kibbutz galuyot. Kibbutz galuyot. Me'arba kanfot ta'aretz. So not only, as I said, has the population doubled inside within 3 years, but they have continued to come time and time again. I want to share with you also another incredible historic fact. You know, just when the demographic demon in Israel rears its head, and people say, you have to do something and find a solution because demography is against you. Shimon Peres and many others were saying this in the late 80s and 1990s. Said, part of the reason you have to find an immediate solution, I'm not getting into the political solution, yay or nay, I'm just raising one issue. Said Shimon Peres, you have to find a solution and you have to make painful compromises, because he would say, where are another million Jews going to come from? Quote unquote. And in the next 20 years, you would have two journalists in Israel, 2013, who wrote a book saying, Hamilyon Sheshinu et Pnei Mizrach HaTichon. The million Jews which came from Russia and the old Soviet Union, which changed the face of the Middle East. Nobody foresaw that. Nobody foresaw a million Jews coming. Many of them wanted to go to the United States, as all good Jewish immigrants do. And it was only through some backhandling between Yitzhak Shamir and between President Bush that closed the gates in America and redirected them to Israel. Harsh, but that's what they did. Because give most Jews the opportunity, they're not going to come to Israel if they're fleeing, if there are other lands of opportunity, which we can show throughout history. We all know of the 2.5 million Jews which left Russia between 1881 and 1924. Over 2 million came to the United States. Pockets came to Israel. And only when the gates to the United States closed to an extent, and there was for many Jews, Ein Brera, did many more start coming to the land of Israel. That's a discussion in and of itself. How Hashem is mesaveva to sevavim at the end of the day to ultimately koreha dorot merosh, to bring Jews back. So here we are, 2018. Last year, almost 30,000 Jews coming. And just when one aliyah door closes, then one opens in France and the one in the Ukraine and here and there. And somehow this, in the words of Rav Soloway, this eschatological march of the Jewish people somehow towards moving Jewish history forward continues to unfold before our eyes. Now, I want to share with you why I believe in three ways Yetziat Mitzrayim, meaning Kibbutz Galuyot, is greater even than Nes Yetziat Mitzrayim. But first, to start with the following. There's obviously one way, in one perspective, that nothing compares to Nes Yetziat Mitzrayim. That, of course, is in terms of transcending the laws of nature. Never before, never after, have we seen anything comparable to sea splitting. I mean, yes, the Yarden split we sang about in Harav Yarden Yisov Lachor, but you've all been to the Jordan River. I mean, it's not the most impressive river to split. It's impressive. But, you know, the Amazon, the Mississippi, the Nile, that's an impressive. It's impressive as far as miracles goes. But, you know, Kriyat Yamsuf, split a sea, that's something. Nothing is comparable. In terms of transcending the laws of nature, Aseret HaMakot, Kriyat Yamsuf, Aseret HaDibrot, Mamad Har Sinai, nothing compares. Nothing before and nothing after. That's transcending the laws of nature. But in terms of transcending the laws of history, I want to share that I believe in three ways Yetziat Mitzrayim kibbutz galiot could be greater than Yitzhak Mitzrayim. And here are the following three ways. Number one, the galut of Mitzrayim was 210 years. The current galut has been almost 2,000 years. 10 times as long. Rav Yaakov Emden and the Aruch HaShulchan in the beginning write that the survival of the Jewish people alone, says the Aruch HaShulchan in his introduction, the Rav Yaakov Emden, his introduction to his Sidur in Sulam Beit El, he says that the survival of the Jews in the Galut alone is comparable and maybe even greater than Yitzhak Mitzrayim. How do they survive for 2,000 years? Get banished from every European country and face the most horrific banishments and massacres and pogroms and crusades. Shoah, how did they survive? So just the survival alone after 2,000 years is just, from a time point of view, 10 times as great. We came back after 2,000, how did we last that long? That alone is a miracle which precipitated Kibbutz Galiot, number one. Here we came back after 210 years, here we came back after almost 2,000 years, number one. Number two, where did we come back from in Mitzrayim? We came back from one country, from one area in that country, Goshen, from one ghetto in that area called the ghetto of Goshen. All the Jews were discriminated against, were confined to one region of Egypt, to one ghetto. So yes, they came from one country to another country, very impressive. Kibbutz Galiot, where we know the Nevi'im say, V'kabetz me'arba konfra'aretz, v'hanidachim eretz ashur, v'ha'ovdim v'hanidachim. Hashem says, not only am I going to bring them back, I'm going to bring them back from every God-forsaken, forlorn place. Even the Nidach and the Oved, the one who's got lost, they will come back. Not just from the major Jewish centers. They will come back. They will come back from anywhere and everywhere. I wrote an article, I tried to wax a little bit lyrical, and said they came back from Montreal to Melbourne, from Vancouver to Vladivostok, from where we now, from Teaneck to Tehran, from Far Rockaway to Fez, right, from Aleppo to Addis. You just name the city from Wellington to Washington. You just name cities on the ends of the earth. Jews have come back from there. Incomparable, unparalleled. From everywhere. And thirdly, says the Maharat Chayot, based on this, we can see this in source number 9, says the Maharat Chayot. The Maharat Chayot says the following incredible thing. This is in his Ketavim. I was blown away when I saw this. He says, in order for the Jews to come back and create a functional society, you need a miracle within a miracle within a miracle. The miracle of bringing them back is almost impossible. The miracle of bringing them back from all over the world is nigh impossible. The miracle of bringing Jews back from socialist Jews to capitalist Jews, from atheist, agnostic Jews to the most fundamentalistic Jews, fundamental believing Jews. Sfaradim, Ashkenazim. And he says, look at what he says over here. He says, if you look at the first line, Ve'ulam noda ki e'efshar shiyushlam kibbutz am echad, rak biyot isha ha'uma asher hiskimu liyot lam. How are you going to make one people? Liyot am echad shavim. How are you going to make this one functional people? Bilashonotahem. How are they going to speak a language together? We could speak today volumes about the miracle within a miracle within a miracle. And what is that? The Hebrew language. Before the year 1881, Hebrew was a written language of Tefillah, of Tanakh, of Mishnah, of responsa between Rabbanim. It was not a spoken language. In recorded history, there doesn't seem to be in the world, by the year 1880, one family which spoke to their children in Hebrew. Until Ben Yehuda came along, with all the controversy around Ben Yehuda, and his life is fascinating, not for now. But some Meshuggahness came along and said, we're going to do what's never been done, take a language which is no longer spoken and make it spoken. Most of the Zionist leaders were against it. Herzl for sure. Herzl writes explicitly. He says, you can't even say, writes in the 1890s, please can I buy a plane ticket? We don't have, not a plane, there were no plane tickets, a train ticket. We didn't have words in Hebrew for that. Ben Yehuda writes that you need 17,000 words for a language, with the Tanakh, 6,000. That's what we have. So he had to make up words. He had to make up words. And Herzl said, you're crazy, it's hard enough to bring the Jews back. Let them just talk the language that they know. What you going to now? It's so hard. Now you want them also to speak Lashon HaKodesh. Leave it alone. How, says Maharat Chayot, are they going to speak? What language are they going to speak? Benimus Sehem. They've got different mannerisms. B'taluchotahem, b'mizgehem, b'darchei amidot. How are you going to do it? How are you going to make a functional society of this hodgepodge of people who it's everything? And even if you can make them speak the same language, how are they going to understand each other culturally? That needs an unparalleled miracle, says the Maharat Zchirot. He says at the end, look what I've underlined in Hebrew, in bold. Hine, haya az, am Yisrael nifradim, nifzarim, bein ha'amim ulumim, ela mitzvav chulei. And he says, shah, v'hayu nivdalim zeh mitzvav, v'lulei Hashem be'ezratam, lo haya efshar b'chok ha'teva, shetushlam kibbutzam liot lam echad. No way you can do it. No way. And yet they've come after 2,000 years from all over the world bringing a way that you simply cannot make a society one, and somehow we have created the most incredible functional society, which is really the most unbelievable thing. And really, this is just one vantage point that I wanted to share. There are many psukim that I'll bring. I'll just bring one. There are many that I could bring. I'll just bring one in source number 4, where Micha says, when he speaks about the Jewish people coming out of Mitzrayim, he says, Ki emet tzedcha meretz Mitzrayim arenu niflot. Like the time you came out of Mitzrayim, arenu niflot, I will show you miracles. And here we've seen this. So yes, changing laws of nature, nothing compares. But changing laws of history after 2,000 years from all over the world and creating a functional society. There's so much more to say, and my time is up, but I'll just end and say, this is one of the many, many privileges that we have of witnessing a state of Israel, being partners in the creation of this Geula unfolding before our eyes, a kibbutz galuyot, which is unparalleled in all of history. There are some thinkers which say that this is not only the greatest miracle in Jewish history and modern Jewish and human history, but in all of human history, this unlikely kibbutz galuyot of miracles within miracles. And as we merit, I'll end and say, just as we merited the first 70 years, which is such a significant number, what a schut that is. May we be zocheh the next 70 years to the second part of Tfilat Birkat HaChodesh. Not only will hui galotanu bekarov v'kabetz in the chayrak of haaretz, chaverim kol Yisrael v'nomar amen, to create the genuine chaverut, now that the body of the Atzamot Yeveshot have come together and the collective body of the Jewish people has been re-energized in so many beautiful ways. May it retrieve its soul, may it the spirit, v'natati ruchi b'chem, v'natati lachem lev chadash, and may there be a genuine return, both physically and spiritually, to bring the Jewish people to be that model society of Or Lagoyim that we hope and daven and pray for. Shavua Tov, Chodesh Tov, and Yom Ha'atzmut Sameach. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.